Matthew chapter 24, and we want to pick up where we left off on Sunday morning. Now, tonight we are in chapter 24, and we're beginning with verse 42. We'll read through the rest of the chapter. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, throughout this discourse, the Lord is constantly giving words of warning. He warned them to begin with, as we began this in verse 4. He said, Take heed that no man deceive you. Be careful. Take heed. Watch out. Don't let man deceive you, because that's where deception comes from. And then he's already encouraged them more than one time about being careful, being watchful. Here in this verse, watch ye therefore, again in verse 44, be ye also ready. If you look over in chapter 25, verse 13, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, constantly, Jesus impresses the disciples with this matter of being watchful. So we begin here, then, in this passage with this command to watch. Now, that means to give strict attention to. Be cautious and active. Be cautious, be active. Give strict attention to. That means if you're going to live the Christian life and serve the Lord, you're going to have to stay awake. You're going to have to listen to the word. You're going to have to be alert and ready to respond all the time. And that's the whole thrust of this passage. All the time. Not just in one watch of the night, but all the time. There is no time when we can relax and sit back and say, the Lord is not coming today, so we'll just take it easy. Now, Jesus is talking to the disciples. If you were there that day, you'd see Jesus seated there on the Mount of Olives with his disciples around him, talking to them. But the warning is for the Jews living at the time of the second coming. That tells us how important it is that they have the Word of God. It's important that we have the Word of God, of course, now today. But it's going to be important that the Jews living after the tribulation period have copies of the Word of God, because this is written specifically to them, to that generation, to those people, to those that are going to be living at the time that Jesus is speaking of. Now, the command to watch is for all, but this particular situation they're watching for, the Lord's return, will only happen to one generation. But throughout all generations, we have the instruction to watch. And so it applies to us today as we watch for the Lord's return to take the church. We are to be watchful, be ready. We don't know the day nor the hour. So the same kind of conditions are present today. and have been, by the way, throughout the whole church age, because Paul and the early disciples in Paul's day watched, and they have been watching godly people, the saved have been watching ever since he left. But this particular message is written to those that are going to be alive at that day. So it's going to be important for them to have the Word of God. See, the Word of God, it will not pass away. As he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will not pass away. And so this message is going to be important for them. Now, so the message applies to those of us who are the saved today waiting for the rapture. Now, I want to turn again. We looked at it just briefly the other night in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is speaking of this particular time. Now, it's interesting that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13, is the passage that has to do with the rapture. The clearest teaching concerning the rapture of the church is given for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And then immediately following that in chapter 5, verse 1, we move into Paul is speaking of the time following the rapture, the second phase of Christ's coming. Sometimes we refer to Christ's coming as in two phases. He comes to take his church. He's not seen here upon the earth. He comes in the clouds. The church rises to meet him and is taken out. That's not the second coming of prophecy. That's not the second coming of the Old Testament. That's not the second coming of Matthew 24. That is a part that, is the rapture, which is given to us in the New Testament. Matter of fact, this mystery is revealed to Paul and given to us in the epistles that he wrote concerning the rapture. That's something different, not prophesied in the Old Testament. It has to do with the church. But immediately then, Paul writes concerning that next event, which is the second coming. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Now this is, in other words, that you know how to discern, that you look at the things that are happening and know the times and the seasons. This is the same kind of thing we talked about last time with the budding of the fig tree. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, now we're not talking about rapture now when that phrase is used, we're talking about the return of Christ, when he comes back to set his kingdom up. So, the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, the rapture is not as a thief in the night. Remember back here in chapter 24 that whenever two were in the field, one was taken, the other one left. They were taken to judgment, just like they were in Noah's day when they were taken to judgment. Their life was taken, and they were taken to judgment. Well, in this particular case here, the thief, so he comes as a thief in the night. Thief comes to do what? He comes to take something. He comes to take something away from the owner. He comes to deprive the owner. And so this coming is not the rapture now. He's not coming to take us to meet him. This coming is to take him to judgment. All right? So the thief comes for that purpose, to remove something, to take it. And of course, he doesn't say, I'm coming tonight and I'll be there at 12:05. You know, that's what we get back to in Matthew 24. If the good man had known, or the householder, the word good man is not best translation, if the householder had known in what hour the thief was coming, he'd have been ready. But you see, because the thief didn't announce the time he was coming, he wasn't ready. And so it is, you see, with the Lord's coming, at this, when he comes to set up his kingdom, comes to destroy his enemies. So, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, when they shall say peace and safety, Then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. We're getting to that kind of a time now in the world, aren't we? When men are more and more saying, peace at last. Peace is in sight. Peace is coming. With all the communism and today, what a historic event. They announce that Russia is legally going to have more than one party. Now, it may mean nothing, but it is quite a thing. For 70 years, they have refused any such statements. Now, this thing could all fall backwards in a hurry. And it's not something we jump up and down and say, hallelujah, hooray, hooray. Because they're crying peace and safety. That means one thing to us. The destruction that's going to take place at the Lord's coming is closer than ever has been before. Of course, remember this. There's no promise anywhere in the Scripture. No mention of America in the Scriptures in the first place. And there's certainly no promise of America being spared, or that we're going to be preserved until the Lord comes, because judgment could come upon this wicked nation at any time. So let's read on now. They say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, the woman with child knows she's going to have a child, but she doesn't know the day or the hour. See, and all of a sudden, travail comes upon her. The labor comes upon her. And so it is. In other words, there's no escaping. The child is going to be born. The suffering, the pain, the things that go with childbearing are going to happen. She just doesn't know when. Well, and in the same way, we know judgment is going to come upon the wicked. They're crying peace and safety, but we know judgment is going to come, but we don't know the day nor the hour. So that's why watchfulness is required all the time. There is never a time that we're not to be watchful, either us now or the Jews at that time. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. See, now, he uses this as an illustration to teach us the same thing, that we should watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Faith, hope, and love. These three, the greatest of these is love. All right. So Paul is here basically using the same event that we're studying in Matthew 24 to tell us that we should be watchful. Jesus said that they should be watchful. Now Paul is using that same illustration, same passage, same instruction to warn us that we should be watchful. All right. So we are to watch. Therefore, for we know not what hour our Lord comes. That is, as far as the rapture, we would say. They say the same coming. Now, verse 43. But know this, that if the good man of the house or the householder had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Now, if the thief had announced his coming, then, you know, he'd have gone to sleep and slept till 12 or quarter till and said, okay, he's coming at a little after 12. And then he'd have got up and started watching. And that's what everybody would like. That's what everybody would like to know, so that I can be sloppy the rest of the time and sleepy, so I can live my own life, so I can do what I want to do, so I can live as I please, so I can be worldly as I want to be. Up until the time, and then I'll get diligent and busy. Say, I'll be diligent when the Lord comes. Doesn't work that way. He doesn't give us that option to have. We're to be ready all the time. We don't know the day nor the hour. The Father has kept that in his own hands. We talked about that a little while before, and it seems that every time that's brought up, Jesus says that in Acts 1:6. Jesus told the disciples when they asked him there, they said, that's in the Father's hands. And the Father is not telling anybody when that is. Now, so the householder would watch if he knew what hour. But he doesn't watch. Well, he knows the possibility of a thief coming. But he doesn't know when. Even if he knew for sure one was coming sometime, he wouldn't sit up all night every night watching for it. See? But in the spiritual context of this, we are spiritually to be of the day, not of the night. We are to be watching because we are children of light, not children of darkness. Now, therefore, verse 44, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, again, after the tribulation period, or during the tribulation period, Jude's going to pick up this book, and he's going to have the understanding of that. He's going to know what that means if he's a believing Jew. If he has rejected Antichrist rule, he's going to understand these things. And he's going to be watchful. These are going to be very, very precious and important verses to a generation of Jews at the Lord's second coming. Now, they are precious to us because we're waiting for his coming to take us in the air. So, we're in the same situation as they are. Now, so, therefore, be ye also ready. Now, here we have then the command to be ready. That means to be completely prepared. Be completely prepared. Are you ready tonight? The Lord came tonight. Would there be anything you want to pray about before the rapture? Would there be any sin that you'd think you better confess if you knew the Lord was coming tonight? Before you got up in the morning, you'd be meeting the Lord in the air. Would you rather kind of take care of some business? Well, you better take care of it. You better do the business with God that you need to do. If there's sin unconfessed, if you're not saved, if you're just faking it, going to happen. You're going to be lost. You're going to be left. It's going to take place, folks. It's going to take place. You see, when Jesus came the first time, it was in the fullness of time. It was in the Father's hand. And oh, they didn't think he was coming. My, you know. And just like these people say, or some of these people say, our Lord delayeth his coming. That's a very interesting phrase, and we want to get to that in just a minute. Now, verse 44 then, it's in such an hour as ye think not. When would you think he would come? Well, that's not it. When would you not think he would come? Well, that's it. Okay? Right when you're caught doing something, going somewhere, watching something, saying something that you'd sure not want to be saying or doing. That's when it's going to be. It's at the time that you think not. That's when he's coming. Speaking to them, and we're applying that, of course, to the rapture. Now, who then is a faithful and wise servant? Now, isn't it interesting that the Lord didn't say, who then is an intelligent and a talented servant? You know, it's interesting, isn't it, what the Lord puts premium on. He puts a premium on faithfulness and wisdom. Wisdom is another name for Christ, by the way. Proverbs, one of the names given to Christ. Now, you can be faithful. You can be faithful. Some of us can't be very smart, very intelligent. Some of us don't have much talent. But there's something we can all be, you can be, and I can be faithful. We can be faithful. We don't like to be. It strains us to be. It puts us in a bind sometimes to be, but we can be faithful. And that's not all. We can be wise. See, wisdom that is from above is first pure and then peaceable, Scripture says. Wisdom that comes from above is not the wisdom of this world. And we can have that wisdom because it's the wisdom of the Word of God. And if we will let the Word of God infiltrate our minds and our hearts, if we will study the Word and let the Word soak into our minds so that we think biblically, we think scripturally, we can be wise. And that's the kind of servant the Lord referred to. Who is that faithful and wise servant? Now get this. Whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. All right, now, what is it that the servant is supposed to do? He's supposed to take care of those that the Lord has put under him for him to watch after and feed. Now, this is the man now who has a household. He has maybe leaves his wife and all his children there and all the other servants that he has. And he puts one man, a faithful and wise man, over the whole household while he's gone. And he expects that one, that steward, to look after the rest of the household. He's supposed to see to it that the food is there and the food is prepared. The children are fed, that everything's looked after and everything's tended to. That's that servant's responsibility. See? And so, if you are a parent, you're over household. The Lord has left you to look after your children. He's left you to feed them, to discipline them, to train them, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's what your responsibility is over your household. As a pastor, I have a responsibility to a flock that God's as his under shepherd to feed, and I'll have to answer as to whether I fed the flock of God that he made me overseer of. I'll have to answer that. I won't have to answer to any of you. I'll have to answer to the Lord how I fed the flock, and that's my responsibility as a servant. Whatever your job is, whatever your responsibilities are, that you are the servant. In other words, you have the responsibilities under the Lord for those responsibilities. See, all authority is given. You know, a little later on, we get into chapter 25, we have the parable here where the Lord gave, he was leaving and he gave authority unto his servants. I guess it says, it's one of these that we'll be getting to before too long. And he gave authority to his servants. Now, that's what that means. When he gives authority to his servants, that's their area of responsibility. And so that's what they're going to be graded on. That's what they're going to be judged on. That's what they're going to be accountable for, is whatever they were responsible for. I'm not going to have to answer for your children, except as I have taught what the Scripture says about rearing children. But I don't have to answer for your children. You don't have to answer for mine. I don't have to answer for somebody else's responsibilities and their job and work and whatever it is. See, God gives his servants, each one, authority. He gives them responsibility and the authority to do that responsibility. And we'll have to answer for those things. Now, so he says, who is this faithful and wise servant? Blessed is that servant, verse 46, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Not so thinking about, not so planning on, but that servant who is so doing is carrying out the instructions of the Lord. Verily, verse 47, I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. In other words, he sees that he can trust him, and he's going to make him ruler over all his goods. Now, verse 48, but, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming. Now here, folks, is the phrase of unfaithfulness. Here is the phrase of unfaithfulness. The Lord's not coming right now. It's not going to happen today. There's no need for me to get to stewing, and I'll be having to look after this and be diligent and careful and diligent, and it may be a year. And I'll be looking at what I got to do for that whole year. Why, my goodness, I could be doing other things. And he's not going to come now. I wait until I think it's closer to his coming, and then I'll get down to business. See, that's the evil servant. My Lord delayeth his coming. Folks, whether we're talking about the rapture right now, or whether the Jew at that day, after the tribulation period, says it, or during that tribulation period, it's the same thing. My Lord delayeth his coming. Whenever the hope of the rapture, the blessed hope of getting to meet the Lord in the air and to get a new body and to get rid of this body of sin and to be in perfect fellowship with our Lord, whenever that hope dims in an individual or in the church, you're backslidden. I'm backslidden. The church is backslidden. You see, that's why I say today that the church, the fundamental church of America, is in just about total apostasy. Fundamentalism, evangelicalism, the church is just about in total apostasy. Why? Nobody's looking for the Lord. I've asked preachers around the country, because I was serious about it, and I said, if you were going to have a premillennial preaching conference, who would you get to preach? I don't know. There just aren't any preachers preaching that today. That's not the subject in the churches. The churches of America are not talking about the second coming. They're talking about soul winning. They're talking about building a bigger church. They're talking about a bigger program. They're talking about baptizing 2,000. They're talking about everything in the world except the Lord's return. We just aren't studying about it today. The church has said the Lord has delayed his coming. Oh, they haven't said that with their mouths, but that's what they've said with their hearts, and that's the evidence that's taking place. What takes place whenever a people who are supposed to be a godly, righteous people say, the Lord delayeth his coming? Look what takes place. Well, first of all, it kills watchfulness. You don't have to watch anymore. He shall begin to smite his fellow servants. Cruelty. Apostasy. He doesn't believe his Lord's coming. And this very attitude. Now get this. It is this very attitude that shows the condition of the individual or the church. That's the reason why the mystery of iniquity, which is the mystery of lawlessness, which is complete disrespect for the law of God, the Word of God. Disrespect for the Word of God, you see, is the way it is today. And that's not in just in Washington, and that's not in the Catholic Church. That's in fundamentalism. There are just so few that really are standing and preaching, faithfully preaching against sin and condemning the conditions that are going on in our nation and in the world. And it's just So this is what happens. Watchfulness is killed. Apostasy sets in. Cruelty and immorality. Starts to drink with a drunkard. Smite his fellow servants. And then one thing you can be sure of, though, verse 50 and 51. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion. Now, what is his portion? With the hypocrites. He wasn't saved. That servant was not a genuine believer. He gets his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and that's not where Christians go, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So that's the reason, as we said last week, all the saved are watching. You find somebody not watching, we may not all be watching as diligently as we ought to, but all the saved are watching, expecting, looking for. That's how you tell whether you're saved or not. If you're not looking, then you have nothing to look for. You know, if your dad goes away from home and he says, I'll be back in a few days and I'm going to bring you a present. And I'll be back and I want you to be looking for me. The flight such and such, and come to the airport, bring the family, and I'll come in and I want you to be there. Well, the kids know Dad's coming. And they, all the time he's gone, they think about it. One time or another, they think about it. Why? They got a dad that's gone, and he said he was coming back. Now, they may know precisely when he's coming in that case. We don't know precisely when he's coming. The Lord's coming. But somebody is gone, and somebody's coming. It's their kinfolks. It's their father. Somebody they know and love. So they watch. Now, you don't expect the neighbor's children and the children down the street to be sitting at night, tomorrow's the day Daddy's coming home. The devil's children aren't excited about your Savior coming. They don't know about it. They aren't watching for him. That's how you tell who's saved. Who's watching? Who's watching? Are you watching? If you're not watching, then he's going to come anyway, but he's going to point you your portion with the hypocrites, where there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's just that simple. Now, this, of course, as we said, is dispensationally is written for a generation of Jews who will be alive at the close of the tribulation period. That could well be Jews that are alive today, for that matter, because if the rapture came tomorrow, then these verses would be in vogue in 7 years. You see. So it could be not that far away. But the thing that we have to be looking for is not that time when he comes in judgment, because we'll be coming with him when he comes then. He'll be bringing the saints with him. But we need to be watchful, looking, thinking about, expecting, because one bright morning, he's coming. Power to take us to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.